And welcome to the Devotional Cast, December 3rd, 2018. It's been a while that we have our last episode of the Devo Cast, but I couldn't think of anyone else to come back and to also to tell us what's going on in this chapter of his life, of his journey. Eric Olson, everyone's favorite Devo Cast guest, welcome to the Devo Cast.
Thank you so much, Brother Santiago, and everyone listening. It is a pleasure and a privilege to be back on the DevoCast with Santiago Leon.
So, Eric, tell us your last, your update. I know last time you shared with us that you're moving to Idaho. I think this was back in April, actually, your last appearance. Tell us what's happened since then.
Wow, yeah. Well, successfully made the move in mid-July, and it's hard to believe that we've been here now for almost 5 months. It was, a major life change and adjustment with my children and moving to a different state, different culture. Every state has its own culture, so Idaho is different than Virginia. There's pros and cons. So there's a lot of pros, and maybe there's a few cons, but from my perspective, but that's a subjective thing, I would say. But overall, yeah, it's been an adjustment. It's been a big faith walk, and my wife and our children, we have mostly adjusted. I would say 95%. You know, sometimes for the first couple months, because, you know, my wife and I, had been in Virginia for over 10 years. So, you know, you wake up in the morning and you're like, oh, we're not in Virginia anymore. We're in Idaho, you know, because kind of breaking out of that habit, that routine. And so yeah, I think we're pretty much now, for the most part, grafted into Idaho. We're Idahoans, I guess you could say. And we're enjoying it, and we're excited about what the new year holds in 2019, and preparing some major ministry collaborations and projects to launch in the new year.
Yes, wow, that's an interesting thing when you just get up and you just see the differences. But what has the Lord been telling you these past couple of days? And also looking forward to 2019.
Yeah, you know, it's interesting. You know, for those of you who might know me, you know, my ministry and my social media presence is JMTD, which stands for the acronym of Jesus Makes the Difference. It's my personal story, but it's also my universal message. And, you know, over this weekend, just something that the Lord has been put on my heart, and I'm actually working on a project, a video to create that I want to, Lord willing, hopefully post tonight on YouTube. And if any of you, I'm a casual NFL fan, and if the biggest news over the weekend was the second-year All-Pro leading rusher Kareem Hunt, you know, got released from the Kansas City Chiefs when video surfaced of him in a hallway in Cleveland in a building where he had a new residence, pushing a woman and then kicking her when she was on the ground. You heard that news, right?
Sometimes. Yeah, it was big news and on ESPN, and really tragic, and that might cost his career.
Exactly, might cost his career, and I was really intrigued by the story, and so I wanted to investigate further, and I of course had heard of Kareem Hunt. He is a tremendous talent on the field. I didn't really know much about him, but ESPN with Lisa Salters, they did an interview and they posted that. And I watched the interview, and it's like a 10-minute interview. And when I watched that interview, I believe I watched it on Saturday. I was like, I felt compelled, and I just felt gripped by the story, and I'm like, I have to do a Jan City response video to this story. And so that's what I've been working on, and I want to keep it, you know, not too long, between 5 and 10 minutes, no longer than 10 minutes, probably around 5 minutes to get all my thoughts and content in, but keeping it tight and flowing good. But my hope is for redemption. And basically, again, check JMTD on YouTube. I'm titling the video Kareem Hunt and the Human Condition. Because if you watch the video, the interview with Lisa Salters, basically it's about a 10-minute interview. And, you know, he gives the he tries to apologize, but in the same time, throughout the whole interview, he justifies himself, saying, I'm not that kind of person. And it just resonated with me. This is a great example for the gospel of the human condition, that we don't want to take accountability for our actions. We want to say, well, I'm a good person. That's not how I don't do that type. But see, when it's caught on video, you know.
So it's a whole different story.
It's a whole different story. That defense won't stand up in court. When they have a video of you assaulting a woman, you can't say the jury or the judge is not going to have much sympathy if you say, well, I'm not that type of person. Well, this was just the first time I've done it. But see, there's carbon proof evidence. You might say that's not the type of person, but the reality is you did it. So there's so many scriptures came to mind. You know, Romans 1, it says on judgment day, the Lord will say, oh, man, you are without excuse. I don't want to condemn Kareem Hunt. We all have this human condition. It's called the nature of sin. It's not just that we have the ability to sin. It's in our very human nature, the fallen sinful nature. That's why Christ died for us, to redeem us from the curse. So Kareem Hunt, you know, he doesn't just need counseling from worldly venues or, you know, to try to do some community service or whatever. Those things would be great, but he needs Christ. He needs, and he needs a relationship with the Lord to... So I hope that this will be a wake-up call for him. And see, what's worse than losing a potential Hall of Fame NFL career and millions of dollars? What's worse than that is losing your soul. As Jesus says, what does it benefit a man if he gains the whole world and yet forfeits or loses his soul? So this is my hope for Kareem Hunt, is that I want to suggest that, you know, he reach out to some Christians in the NFL. Like the guy who I'm thinking I'm going to include in the video is Benjamin Watson, who's an NFL statesman, and he's a genuine born-again lover of Christ, and that Benjamin Watson could be a mentor to him. And then after, I think, at least a year, you know, he won't be in the league, but I hope he finds true repentance, a true relationship with God through Christ. And then he'll have a second chance in the NFL. There's always room for redemption if someone shows true repentance. But even if the NFL hardens its heart and doesn't want to allow him a second chance, which I think if he takes those appropriate steps, he's only 23, he's just his second year in the league. I think that if he takes those appropriate steps and you see that people vouch for him, that he should be given a second chance. I really do believe that. But even if the NFL doesn't allow that, I hope that, you know, that this isn't the last thing he'll be remembered for. You know, I want to pray. Another verse that came to my mind for his story, I saw some people in the NFL, retired people that are just judging him and saying he should never play in the league again. And, of course, the golden rule of Jesus in the sermon, as you would have them do to you. And it's like, before we just sit and condemn and judge this man, what if the roles were reversed? Would you want a bunch of people saying you shouldn't have a second chance? I don't think so. What he did was reprehensible. He lied about it. So there should be consequences, of course. But should we say that there's no chance for redemption? No, I think that's the wrong angle to take. So that's the long and short of the project I'm working on at the very moment, Santiago. So, yeah, praise God. I hope it turns out well. Pray for me on it.
One of the comments is saying, was it roared rage behind his actions? And I think he's meaning steroids. Do you think it was steroids rage?
Oh, it was a roid rage.
Roid rage.
You know what? That's a good question. But I that's a possibility. A lot of the athletes, professional athletes, they will take any type of performance enhancing drugs they can use to try to get away with to enhance their game because so much money and fame and fortune is on the line. But again, I that's still not an excuse.
It's not an excuse.
It's not an excuse. He took those actions. You can blame it on alcohol. You can blame it on roid rage, steroids. But ultimately, it's your own heart. It's the sin within that compels you to do evil, whatever type of evil it is. And it's how the Lord defines evil, right? And so that same sin, the irony, what I was saying about the same sin that caused him to commit that action is the same sin that is deceiving him. Sin is deceitful, right? The heart, as Jesus says, our hearts are deceitful above all else, right? And so the same sin that compelled him to take those actions when things weren't going his way, when this young woman in Cleveland or wherever it was didn't want to do it, there was a disagreement, is the same sin that he's refusing to humble himself. It's like, in the interview, he wanted to do the right thing, it looked like, or he wanted to give the appearance that he's doing the right thing. But I didn't get the impression. The true, honestly, thing I got is that he had worldly sorrow, not godly sorrow. See, what's the difference? Worldly sorrow is when we feel bad that we got caught, or we feel bad about, consequences, but we don't feel bad that we did it. But see, godly sorrow is when you realize, like King David did, against you, O Lord, I have sinned, right? It's not just about the consequences primarily. It's about I did something that grieves the heart of God. I did something that is evil in the eyes of God, not just society. That's godly sorrow. And the Apostle Paul in the New Testament expounds on that difference in 2 Corinthians chapter 7 between the difference between worldly sorrow and godly sorrow. And he basically says worldly sorrow causes death, right? It doesn't cause true repentance. Like, guess who had worldly sorrow, I believe, in the Bible? Judas. Judas Iscariot, he had worldly sorrow, and then he went and he hung himself, right? Tragically, he committed suicide, but he didn't truly repent. But guess who had godly sorrow? Peter. Peter denied Christ, and when it came to, he realized he had, denied the Lord. He heard the cock crow. He had godly sorrow, and he repented, and the Lord used him as the keynote speaker on Pentecost, 50 days later or whatever it was. And so that's a huge, huge thing, godly sorrow versus worldly sorrow. See, worldly sorrow, you might cry tears because you've hurt someone's feelings, but you really deep down, you don't repent, right? You might feel embarrassed or bad. And that's what in my analysis, in my opinion, from watching the interview, I believe Kareem Hunt at this point has worldly sorrow. He feels embarrassed that the video came out and he feels ashamed. But he hasn't taken a responsibility for his heart. He has yet. He never once in the interview acknowledged God or anything. Well, the interviewer didn't ask him about it. And sometimes people can use God as a scapegoat. And so I'm thankful that he didn't do that. But if I was asking, I would ask, hey, Kareem, what do you think God thought about it? And that's a pretty intense question. Then you find out what is really in a person's heart, what they believe, what they don't believe. But that's my prayer for him, is that he'll have godly sorrow. He'll truly repent. The revelation will come to him of his own condition of being a slave to sin. That he said, I'm a good guy. I'm not that type of person. He said that over and over again in this 10-minute interview. And that he will become born again, a spokesman. Christ will flow through him. And if he has a second chance at the NFL, that he will vocally always acknowledge God in spirit and in truth.
Now, if you were a team owner, Eric, of let's say the Seattle Seahawks, would you sign him right now?
Not right now. No, I don't. I would not sign him. I wouldn't sign him right now, even though, again, he is undoubtedly, almost unanimously, as far as just a pure talent, people would say, he is one of the top three running backs in the league. I mean, he's been having a tremendous year this year again. the Kansas City Chiefs had the best record in the league. And so this is a huge blow to them, but they knew they didn't have a choice, you know. And it makes you wonder about the NFL, you know, if there was no video evidence, you know, this was all brushed under the rug. It never would have come out, you know. But that's, you know, there's proof. So, but that's another story. But, no, I don't think any NFL owner or GM will sign him, definitely not right now, and I don't even think next year. But I think if he's out of the league for a year, I think maybe, and I'm just talking me personally, yeah, if I was a league GM, I would say no. I have to give him a see what actions he takes over the next year. But next season, right now, and next season's out of the question. If the following, not next year, but the following year in 2020, when that season comes up, and I've seen that he's taken what actions he's taken, then I would, and he's still has a passion for the game. Then I would be definitely open to considering it. And not even only open, if I saw me as a believer, and I know there's some Christian executives out there in the NFL, if he has a redemptive story, because a lot of people resonate with that, and people can see he's truly humbled himself, and he's went through the process, you know, of making, I mean, Christ is the atonement, so, but, you know, the expression of atoning for his sin, so to speak. But again, it's not just him doing good works, but I want to see a change of heart and that he can take accountability. But so if I saw that, then I would not only be open after a year, I'd be eager. I'd be like, man, I want to give this guy a chance. And I believe he's genuine and he's not going to do that same mistake again because he's a different person.
Wow. Yeah. And like you were saying before, I think it'd be nice to see a redemptive story after all this. I think Kareem Hunt is so young, 23, full of talent, and hope to see him again. But obviously, you know, hopefully he'll go into the proper channels to get things right, you know, be on the ESPN interview. And but yeah, Eric, can you say a prayer out there for people who are out there in need that are going through issues or who are going who have need?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Father God, thank you so much for your mercy, Lord. Lord, you love to have mercy. Lord, mercy triumphs over judgment, as your word says in James 2:14. And I ask that all those listening, Lord, and even those who aren't listening, Lord, have mercy on people like Kareem Hunt and then also the woman that was the victim, and other people, Lord, we would not just judge others who do wrong, but you see our hearts, Lord, have mercy on us, and give us, I pray that you would release a spirit of genuine repentance to Christ, across the land, Lord, and across social media, that people would not just want to virtue signal their own self-righteousness, or try to be gain atonement through good works or religious observance, but they would trust in the atonement that you have provided, Lord, through Christ on the cross and the resurrection of Christ, and that, Lord, those out there listening and those beyond, Lord, their identity would be rooted in Christ, Lord, that you would take over their mind, their heart, and your will be done in their lives, Lord God. I just come against all fear of man, command it to get off the listeners, command it to get off of us in Jesus' name. Lord, you did not give us a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind. We pray that you would help us to walk in the Spirit, walk in that power and love and soundness of mind of your Holy Spirit, walk in the light with you, Lord Jesus, in the light to be more than conquerors. That we won't put our light under a bowl to blend in with the darkness, but we'll let your light shine bright, Lord God, that people may see and believe, Lord, they may taste and see that the Lord is good. Anoint every one of us, Lord God, Santiago and his family and our family, my family, and those who are listening and their family. Anoint us, Lord God, to walk in the light and to shine your light bright, Lord God, that the lost would come to know you in spirit and in truth. We ask these things, Father, in Jesus' mighty name, amen.
Amen, amen. Thank you very much, Eric. So, Eric, tell us a little bit, what's the future plans for JMTD? I know that you released a Patreon video not too long ago, but yeah, tell us what's going to happen in the next few weeks or months.
Thank you, Brother Santillo. Yeah, this is a huge, I've just learned to trust the Lord in the process. You know, I have, you know, Proverbs 16:9 says, many are the plans in a man's heart, but the Lord directs his steps. And so I've learned over time, and I have to relearn this lesson, to always submit my plans to the Lord's direction. Because a lot of times, the bigger the plan, the more pruning, the more preparation it takes. And so not to just be ambitious or impetuous to get something out there, but, you know, I believe the Lord always prioritizes quality over quantity. He demands quality. He will never, you know, he'll never sacrifice quality for abundance, I believe. He always wants quality of life, and then he'll bring abundant of life. And so anyway, without going further than that, in 2019, January, we are going to be launching a new, a week, Jesus Port at a church here in Boise. And it's called JMTD Tuesdays. So it's going to be an upper room. We're going to be now recording them and collecting stuff for what we hope for, a documentary we're believing for. We're launching our new website. Actually, it's up right now, but it's not. It's the new website is up, but it's still a work in progress. So if those who had seen the old website, it kind of had hit a stagnation. And so the new website is up. It's still being modified. So any prayers, suggestions, comments are always appreciated. But we want it to kind of a new format where we'll really be marketing four Jesus portrayals, all 30 minutes long approximately. Of course, the first one is the Sermon on the Mount, a compilation of the Kingdom of Heaven, Kingdom of God parables of Christ. The End Time Discourse is the newest one that the Lord is having me memorize to dramatize, which is found in Matthew 23 through 25. And then, of course, the farewell address in John 14 through 17. So there'll be four separate Jesus portrayal shows, all about 30 minutes long, that can be marketed, that could take the place of a preaching, of a service in a church. And for traveling out of town or out of state, we want to market packages where, you know, over a weekend could do all four at a church, you know, and to make it really an event, because the anointing, the uniqueness of the Jesus portrayals with this, and we're really going to now emphasize the synergy of, we want to, when we launch this as well, to always have the projected written text simultaneously flowing with the portrayed spoken words of Jesus. So, you know, from the Greek language, a synergy of the logos and the rhema being the spoken word, the logos being the written word. And so that's another technical element, but we find that to be very powerful, because people get all these, you know, there's all these, how we receive information, you know, you receive it visually, you know, audibly through your ears, and also, you know, audio visual, but then there's the whole combination of all the senses. Right. And when you get this combination and collaboration of all the senses, I think it just provides a different dynamic that hits people in a deep, deep way. And so, yeah, that is the long and short of it. We of course, have our apparel with our Jesus, our digital Jesus logo. And we want to premiere in the new year as well some new merchandise, or, you know, or some new apparel with our logo.
New merch.
I want to premiere... Yeah, the merch, the JMTD merch. I got to get you some of that, brother. You've been a faithful patron of JMTD for over a year now. So I, after this is over, I'm going to get your address, and I'm going to get on sending you some merch, brother Santiago.
Yeah, man. Absolutely. So, I think, you know, guys, if you're listening, please support JMTD, a very blessed ministry. They work as a family, and that's something that I really, really love, the unity behind it. And it's just all about Jesus, to be honest, like scriptural base, yeah. Bible believing. And, you know, Eric is very talented. I mean, he can memorize, I don't know if he could do this, memorize the whole Bible, but I know he can memorize 3 to 4 chapters in the Bible. And you know, a chapter in the Bible is pretty long. But Eric has a passion for the Lord, passion for people. And yeah, I mean, moving to Idaho, I think was a very good step because it's definitely pushing you to the next level, giving you more resources than you've ever had.
Amen. Amen, brother.
So that was just a word of encouragement for you and your family. And you know, things are happy. I really can't wait for the video tonight. I hope you will post it.
Amen. Hey, will you say a quick prayer for me on completing the video, brother?
Absolutely. Lord, we thank you, Lord, for Eric's vision, Eric's passion. We pray for that this video about Kareem Hunt will touch people's lives and hopefully Kareem Hunt himself. In Jesus' name, we pray for Eric and the tools and the communication you've given him, Lord, to communicate to other people that need to hear it. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you, brother. Love you, Santiago.
Eric, one more thing before we go. What's your prediction for tonight, the Redskins at the Eagles?
Wow. You know, I'm going to have to predict the Eagles winning. You know, the Redskins, you know, their quarterback, Alex Smith, a couple weeks ago. I mean, Colt McCoy is a satisfactory backup, but you know, momentum. It's more than just the quarterback play; it's the whole mentality of the team. So, yeah, my prediction is going to be, I would say, a close game. I'd say a 7-point win, or let me go 10-point. I'll go a 10-point win for the Eagles. Let me give you a score. Let's say 24-14 Eagles win.
24-14 Eagles. And between Alabama, Clemson, Notre Dame, and Oklahoma, who do you think will win the national championship?
You know, I'm gonna go with Clemson.
Wow.
To me, most people will probably, of course, go with Alabama, but, you know, this weekend, they should have lost, I think, to Georgia. Georgia was up by like 2 touchdowns, by 14 points in the third quarter, and then they ended up losing. And so Alabama, I think the blueprint to beat Alabama was, on display. And, you know, I think Clemson, they already beat Alabama a couple of years ago in the national championship game. And I just think Clemson, I know they have a freshman quarterback, but he's kind of a phenom. And with the game planning and sticking to the script, and now the Alabama quarterback, you know, that was their starting quarterback all year. I don't know how to pronounce his name. Tua Tagovailoa from Hawaii. Awesome guy. Awesome character, by the way.
Loves the Lord.
He loves the Lord. He's always wearing those crosses on his cheeks, you know, with the in the games. But great talent. But I don't know how bad his injury was, if he's not going to be able to be back for the national championship. But yeah, that's my prediction. I think Clemson will pull it out and finish the season undefeated. Just trying to be objective with it.
I would definitely go with Alabama, and definitely I will start Jalen Hurts because Tua does not look good. I think, well, even though the game's in 3 weeks, so who knows what could happen till then. And random question: what is your favorite Rocky movie?
Oh, my favorite Rocky movie. You know, I like with most series of popular film stories, a lot of times the first one is the best. And so I would say I would go with that. The Rocky One, to me, is the most organic, the most authentic and heartfelt script. And, you know, the movie itself had to overcome odds to be made, just like, the story itself of Rocky. And so so often the following Rockies, they kind of give in to, as they get a bigger budget. They give in to sensationalism, and it kind of becomes more about the spectacle than the heartfelt, authentic story. And the same can be true, of course, of Rambo. Rambo with Sylvester Stallone. Rambo 1 was by far the best one, made on a small budget, and then all the following ones got increasingly big blow up, you know, special effects, but the story suffered. So the Rockies, you know, kept more integrity, a lot of good ones, but again, I don't think you can beat for pure storyline the first one.
Wow. Yeah, first one typically kind of starts it up, you know, catapults the whole series. I mean, they're all good movies, don't get me wrong, except the Tommy Gunn one, but that's for another debate. Eric, how can people reach you to find out more about your ministry and things like that?
Yeah, I mean, you go on YouTube, search JMTD. It'll bring up our YouTube channel. JMTD.biz is our website. Twitter handle is JMTDbiz. Instagram is JMTD.biz. If you want to email me, you can email me at ericeric@JMTD.biz. So it's all about JMTD, and that's how you can find me.
There you go. Well, thank you guys for listening to the devotional cast. Please hit subscribe on YouTube, Periscope, iTunes, and we're also on Facebook Live. And if you're on iTunes, please leave a rating and a review. It will help us out tremendously. Eric Olson, my favorite guest on the Devo cast, and thanks for coming on.
You're welcome, brother. Love you and love you all.